Welcome to Minutes of Truth radio program brought to you by the Ellettsville Church of Christ. We invite you to open your Bible and follow along as Paul Adams leads us in a study of God's Word.
Thank you for joining us today on this Minutes of Truth radio broadcast. If you open up your Bibles to James chapter 2, you'll be in the right place for our study. Mark Schatz is here today as we study along. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Paul. It's been good studying through James, and let's continue our study here in chapter 2.
All right, that sounds good. As we've looked so far in James chapter 2, we see that there is the danger of showing partiality, and we're not to hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. And James talks there about how we can't judge others based upon their economic condition, those who are rich or poor. And when we show partiality, we become transgressors of the law. And so let's continue that kind of thought in verses 10 through 13, Mark.
James writes, beginning in verse 10, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment."
As we look at this passage, Mark, we look there in verse 10, and he makes a point there about being a transgressor of law. And if we stumble in one point, our guilt is guilty of all. What does that tell us about the nature of sin?
James here is writing and trying to show us that even if we commit one sin, that we're lawbreakers, that we've broken God's law, and that's going to require the blood of Christ for forgiveness for that sin.
So when we look here, we see that those who show partiality in verse 9 are said to be convicted by the law as transgressors. Then he goes on in verse 11 to say, "He who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' And if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder," he makes the point that you're still a transgressor. Could we add in there that if you show partiality, you're still a transgressor?
Well, he says that in verse 9. He says that if you show partiality, you're a transgressor. And he goes on down and he talks there in verse 11, the adultery, the murder, that you have become a transgressor of the law. So those are all equal. Sometimes we view some sins as not being as serious as others, but I think this writing here by James shows that all sins are serious because they require the same payment of Christ's blood, and we're all sinners in God's sight, even if we've only committed one sin. It's interesting here as we go on down and look, or as we look at this passage, that this should humble us when we think about that, because maybe the only sin I've committed is, say, I've shown partiality. And I look over and I see a guy that's committed adultery. And my tendency would be to look at him and to think, oh, he's horrible, or he's committed that horrible sin, when really, in God's sight, we're both transgressors in need of the blood of Christ. So that should humble me to view other people in a different light. And we've talked about that as we've gone through the book of James, how we should view other people more like God views them.
As we look at this, we've talked about the rich and the poor, that we shouldn't judge someone and treat them with a higher respect just because they have more money. But here it comes down to those who may have been forgiven of some things that in our view are terrible sins. Now certainly we realize that some sins carry with them greater earthly consequences. You may have to answer to the law for what you've done. But in terms of how God views that, we don't see any difference. And so if I lie, that's a transgression of God's law. If the person who murders, that's a transgression of God's law. We are both considered transgressors. I appreciate that point, Mark, that you made about us having more humility and patience with others. We like to sometimes, I think, not see our sins as being so bad. And we like to look at others and say, well, look how awful they are. Well, that's showing partiality. That's a transgression in and of itself. But we have to be careful that we don't fall into that kind of thinking. And so when we realize this, Mark, that whenever we transgress law, it makes us a transgressor. Whenever we commit any sin, whatever the sin, If we view it as big or little, it makes us a transgressor. How does that influence the way in which we live? Maybe looking down around verse 12.
If you look at verse 12, he's just talked about this idea that, you know, one sin makes us guilty of all and that we're all transgressors. That should humble us. And in verse 12, you see how it should affect us. He says, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. This realization that in God's sight, even if we've just committed one sin, a minor sin as we would look at it, that we're all transgressors, that should humble us and it should affect the things we say, how we talk to people, how we talk about people. And it should also affect the things we do, because he says, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. That realization and that humility should permeate every aspect of our life, all that we say, all that we do, and all of our actions towards others.
So earlier in this study, back in chapter 1, we saw how we're to treat those who are orphans or widows, those who are less fortunate, those who are needy. And so we have to make sure that we do that without that kind of partiality. Because he says that it's those things, both in the way we speak of others and the way we act toward them, that makes the difference. I was thinking about Colossians 3:17, where he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Here he ties words and deeds again, what you say and what you do. And so we can show that preferential treatment by the way we talk about people, by talking them down or talking down to them, or someone we highly respect, building them way up beyond what a man ought to be. Or we can treat them with our actions by giving them the seat of honor while telling someone else, you go sit there in that lowly place, like we studied earlier. And so we see that there in James chapter 2, but also in Colossians chapter 3. As we look down, as we progress through here, and we take a look at verse 13, we understand that there is great value in showing mercy and forgiveness. Sometimes I think people are less willing to forgive than what God is. When we come to God and we seek after him, we obey his commands, turn away from sin and turn to him, do those things that we need to do, God is ready to forgive. The scripture here says, judgment is without mercy to the one who shows no mercy. Do you see an importance there, Mark, of being merciful people in the way in which we treat others?
Yeah, he talked in verse 12 about speaking and doing. We're to speak and do a certain way, speak and act a certain way. And in verse 13, he links that to our judgment, because he says, for, which links it together, judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. So how I speak or talk to or about other people, or how I act towards other people, can affect the mercy that I'm going to receive. If I'm unmerciful, if I'm harsh and critical about others and my actions towards them are unkind and ungracious and ungodly, and I speak things about them that I shouldn't, that are unmerciful things, then I shouldn't expect to receive much mercy from God, because I've not shown mercy to others.
That's right. And here when he says that mercy triumphs over judgment, I think we realize there that it might sometimes make us feel better about ourselves when we can make someone else look worse. And so really what we're considering here is forgiven sin. When sin has been forgiven, we don't need to hold someone accountable for that when God has forgiven it. When we don't need to be harsh with others when God has shown them mercy, and mercy triumphs. Any other final thoughts on this section, Mark?
It's just a great section that shows us that we all have our struggles, we all have the sins that we deal with in our lives, and that they're all serious in God's sight, and that we should just be helpful to others, encourage each other to receive forgiveness for those sins, whatever they might be, whether it's partiality, adultery, murder, or anything in between. And that we should just treat one another with mercy and patience and like God would treat us.
Very good. We really appreciate you joining us today for this radio broadcast. If you have a question or a comment, you can send that to truth@ellettsvillechurchofchrist.com. That's truth@ellettsvillechurchofchrist.com. And Mark or I will be happy to respond to your email. or address it on the air. Thanks for joining us today, and join us again next time for a few more Minutes of Truth.
Minutes of Truth is presented by the Ellettsville Church of Christ, meeting at 303 West Temperance Street in Ellettsville, Indiana. We invite you to our worship services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. Bible study times are 9:45 a.m. on Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We hope you will join us again next week at the same time for a few more minutes of truth.